who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
If you build it, he will come.
Hey, Annie! Annie, what was that?
What was that?
You believed in the magic. Isn't that enough?
Celebrate this Father's Day with the 30th anniversary of Field of Dreams, coming to select cinemas June 16th and 18th only. Featuring exclusive insight from TCM host Ben Mankiewicz.
Hey, Dad, you want to have a catch?
Tickets on sale at fathomevents.com. Available to own on 4K UHD, Blu-ray, and digital.
Hey, good morning, everybody. That movie, number one movie of all time, did you know that movie has grossed more in billions of dollars than Sound of Music and Avengers Endgame put together? It has won more Academy Awards. Like, I'm not sure I got all these facts right, but it's like one of the best movies ever, Field of Dreams. And the 30th anniversary is coming out. They're actually showing it at only select theaters. So we brought this up because we're putting a bunch of, and it's not just guys, gals can come with, but it's one of the best father-son movies too. But we're going to load the vans here on Tuesday, June 18th. And we're going to leave from here. That it's actually only being shown in Topeka. We're going to the 7 o'clock showing there. So if you are interested in coming, you got to be here at 5:30. There'll be more information coming out about this. But it's 2 days after Father's Day, on Tuesday the 18th. We're going to load up the vans. We're going to head out from here. And we're going to go watch the 30th anniversary. It's got a special segment in it that only people that watch it can see. So you got to come. And so if you're interested, we need RSVP because we'll try to get tickets in advance because I'm sure it almost is already sold out. Okay, so if you would fill out here on your worship guide, fill out just the back part here and say, Brian, I would love to go, or email me and just say, I would love to go to Field of Dreams, put a contact information here and we'll reach out to you. We're glad everybody's here. To our guests, we're glad you're here too. This worship guide kind of shows everything that's kind of going on here and has sermon notes stuff here on the back. A couple things I want to bring up are we do have Vacation Bible Experience registration. It's going to start this week, so that information is there. There's also a women's event that's not on here later this month. You'll see more information on this. Women's freezer meal event where they're getting together in fellowship and actually creating these meals and freezing some of them to actually give to those in need. So that's a neat event that you'll need to sign up for coming up there too. And let me see what else I got here. Yeah, just as a reminder, the Connect classes are started today. So if you aren't in one, get in one. We delayed them a week because of the relief work that was going on here last week for the flooding. But they started today, so you probably have plenty of time to get enrolled and join those in between the services here at 9:45 on Sunday. Otherwise, not guests, we would love if you'd fill out this Connect card and drop it in the offering plate, or take it out to our welcome center at the end of the service today. We would love to reach out to you, but we're glad you're here to worship with us. So let's just do that. Let's continue to worship together through God's word.
Good morning. I am Dylan Meyer. I am the youth minister here at Westview. I'm new to the team. I joined in the back end of March, so if you don't recognize my face, that might be why. But I'm really, really excited that you guys are here. I really am. I'm excited to go on a journey with you today and to continue in this superhero series that we started last week. We started last week, and we hit on Caleb, and we're going to hit on Elijah today. We'll get to that in a little bit. I'm so glad you guys are here. And I just want to start with describing a little something about me, and that's the fact that I would be a horrible, horrible, horrible superhero. Let me tell you why. The best part of a superhero movie is the end fight scene. Am I right? That's where all the action is. That's where all the excitement is. You have your hero and the villain and sometimes the army of villains, and they all come together, and the hero fights them, defeats them, and we win. It's the best part. It's the best part. But I'm a terrible fighter. That's why I would be a horrible superhero. I'm a terrible, terrible fighter. Why? Because I have a large mouth and tiny muscles. That's why. And you can ask my family growing up, I got in fights with my brother all the time because I would run my mouth and I would win that fight. I always won the battle of the words. He wouldn't admit it, but I did. And that's why he quickly followed the battle of words with the battle of punches. I always lost that one somehow. But I have a big mouth, tiny muscles. I'm a terrible fighter, terrible. But we connect with these superheroes because whether we're good fighters or bad fighters, we all fight. We all have battles. We all live into this tension of trying to fix this broken world. We all have our struggles and our battles. And it looks differently for everyone. Some of us have battles with relationships, whether that's a sibling where you're just bickering with your brother, or maybe you're fighting with your spouse. Maybe you're fighting for your marriage. Maybe you're fighting with your boss. It's a battle with, maybe you just met someone on the street and they're in a battle with a stranger. But we battle with these relationships. And sometimes we battle with ourselves. Sometimes that relationship with self is one of the hardest battles we can face. When we wake up in the morning, we don't like who we're looking at in the mirror. We're living into these battles. We're fighting. Or maybe you're fighting with addiction. Maybe we're struggling with an addiction to gambling, to sex, to drugs, to alcohol. Maybe it's just too much Netflix. But we're fighting. We're fighting. And I feel like a lot of us, a little bit like me, aren't the best fighters. And it might not be because you have a big mouth. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a couple reasons that I think that we're not very good fighters. One of the first ones is we fight alone. We fight alone. And especially in this prideful culture that we have is, I can do it. I can do this by myself. We want to be the guy that puts the team on our backs and carries them across the finish line. We want to do it by ourselves. And we fight alone and we champion those people. Those are the heroes, are the people that can do it by themselves. But the problem there is it's based on only what I can do. It's performance based. If I mess up, it's all over. I don't have backup. I don't have help. There's no team. Just me. And the other struggle is it's lonely. The worst place to be is in the middle of a battle without anyone around you with you. We feel alone. Another reason that we struggle with fighting is we fight fearfully. We're afraid. I know I am. I'm scared all the time. I get scared by spiders, creepy little things. There's no reason they should have 8 legs, 8 eyes, and be hairy. I hate spiders. They scare me half to death. But we fight afraid because we're too afraid to ask for help. What would people think of me if they knew that I couldn't do this? Or we're afraid that we wouldn't be enough, that if I had to do this by myself, I wouldn't be enough to do it. If I had to do it by myself, I couldn't. And it scares us. And that fear of losing the battle often gets us so bad where we're afraid to start the fight because we're so scared of losing. We're afraid to start the fight that we need to fight because I'm so scared that I will lose that I just won't even go that way at all. We fight afraid. But what if we didn't have to? What if we didn't have to fight afraid? What if we didn't have to fight alone? Surely there's a better way to do this. And this is where we meet God. This is where we dive into the text here today. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18. And to set the stage for us a little bit, we're going to be meeting this nation of Israel right now, and it's divided. There's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and they do not agree. Partially because of some of the choices and rulers and different things like that. But one of the main reasons that they're divided is they can't decide who they want to worship. The northern kingdom wants to worship Baal, a false god. And the southern kingdom wants to worship the Lord of Israel. And there's this tension here, this struggle. The northern kingdom is corrupt. It's run by Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab is the king, and he's essentially a bump on a log. Because whatever his crazy wife Jezebel says, they do. And trust me, she's crazy. But this northern kingdom is corrupt, and they are following Baal. And that's where we're picking up is Elijah, our hero, steps into this scene and picks a fight. He walks up to Ahab, and he starts running his mouth. And he says, you get 450 of your prophets of Baal that sit at your wife's table. You get 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, another false god. And you meet me on Mount Carmel at the tippy top, and we'll throw down. And bring the whole nation of Israel, too, because they're going to want to see this. And so he picks this fight. And so he is walking into this, and trust me, what a feeling of being alone. 850 verses 1. And he walks up there, and he opens with this phrase, which I think is so cool. He says, how long will you waver between two opinions? And he's talking about this divided kingdom. He's talking about who will you worship? Will you worship the Lord of Israel, or will you worship Baal? Because it doesn't do any good to straddle the line. And I'm thinking back to my days as a farm kid in small town Kansas. You don't want to straddle a fence, because if you're trying to keep cattle separated, you're going to use two kinds of fence, electric or barbed. You do not want to straddle that fence. So I see what Elijah is saying here. It doesn't do good to straddle the fence. He says, which one are you going to choose? And then he sets the rules for the showdown they're going to have. He tells the prophets of Baal, you go get two bulls. You can pick which one, and we're going to do a sacrifice. You go pick two bulls. I'll use the leftovers, and we're going to have a throwdown. We're going to do a sacrifice. We're going to have a head-to-head barbecue. He says, you build an altar. You put the wood on it. You put the bull on it, but do not start the fire. He says, and I will do the same, and we'll pray. And the God that sends fire, he is the Lord. And he sets up this battle. So the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, they go, they pick a bull, they chop him up, and they put him on this altar, they build it up, and then it's time to pray. So they start praying. And I can only imagine what this looks like, because it says that they start, but there's not an answer. And so I imagine them starting in this serene picture where they built their altar and they get down on their knees and in seriousness calling, Baal, Baal, would you please send fire? But then there's no answer. And then it goes on to say that they start screaming and dancing, and sounds kind of desperate to me. They start screaming and dancing, and Baal, Baal. Any time now would be fantastic. Just whenever you get a minute, if you could just, you know. And there's still no answer. And then you see Elijah come back into the picture, and he starts taunting them. And it says, at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Maybe he just can't hear you. Perhaps he's in deep thought. Or busy, or traveling, or maybe he's just out. And if you look at some of the commentaries, it says when he's talking about this, it says that maybe he's even insinuating that Baal's in the bathroom, and maybe he'll be back in a minute. But he's taunting him, or he says maybe he's just in a deep sleep. His alarm didn't go off. Maybe you just need to wake him up. But still, no answer. So they start cutting themselves, this picture of desperation. It's not like they're not trying hard. They're trying, but there's no answer. And then Elijah steps forward, and at verse 30, he says, come here. He looks at all of the people, and he says, come here. Watch this. It's my turn now. So he builds his altar. He cuts up the bowl and he puts it on there. He puts the wood on there. And then he starts getting confident. He says, why don't you get four jars of water and pour it on there? And I'm not talking jars of water. I'm talking jars of water. He says, why don't you go get 4 jars of water and pour it on my altar that I'm supposed to light on fire? Why don't you just go pour that on there? And then so they do that. And then he says, do it again. We're at 8 jars of water. He says, you know what? Do it a third time. Do it one more time. And there's a trench around this altar that is now filled with water. It's drenched. And then he says, okay, here we go. And we pick up here in verse 36. It says, at the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you are Lord, and you are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. And there is no cricket chirping. There's no moment of silence. Fire comes down from heaven and smashes this altar. It burns the bowl. It burns the wood. It burns the stones that he used to build the altar. It burns up all the water that they poured on it, even the water in the trench, and it burns the ground it was sitting on. There is no waiting for this answer. God answers. He prays. There's an answer. Fire comes down. What an amazing picture of God showing up. And we see Elijah's superpower in this. Elijah's superpower is expectant faith. There is not a moment in this whole scenario where he doubts what is going to happen. And it's not like he had a blueprint before he started. It's not like God said, okay, you're going to wake up. You're going to go make Ahab mad. You're going to meet him on the mountain. You're going to do some trash talk at about noon. And then at 3, you're just going to light a match and toss it on there. But he has a confidence in what is going to happen the whole time. He has a confidence that God is going to show up. There's never a doubt. And he has a trust that when he calls, there will be an answer. Because he knows when he walks into this fight, he has the ultimate backup. He knows that the God that created the universe with a whisper is in his corner. He knows this. He has the one true God. And he knows it. So he knows he's not alone. 850 verses 1 plus God. And he knows it and he trusts it. But even Elijah in this moment has a weakness. It says in chapter 19 that Jezebel hears about what's happened. Crazy queen, remember her. She hears about what he did. He walked up there and whooped 850 of her prophets, and she is not happy about it. And she goes, you know what, Elijah? I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. And in that moment, coming down from this extreme experience where he sees God show up in ways he had never imagined, he runs. He runs like a chicken down the mountain and into the valley. He is scared of this one crazy lady. 850, no problem. God's got me. One crazy lady, he's out of there. And it makes you wonder, why is he scared? Why is he scared? Is he tired? It's probably a lot of work. Does he feel like he's alone? Is he seeing God differently in this circumstance? Now that he's not on that mountain, is it different so he feels like he's not there just because it's not the same? Or is he afraid of death? Is he scared this lady's actually going to catch him and going to kill him? Is he afraid of that? And this is where we see ourselves start to enter the picture. Because all of these things that he might be afraid of, I feel like we're afraid of. But there's something really, really, really cool that happened somewhere between Elijah and us. And we call him Jesus. He shows up and he is God in flesh. He is walking among the people in perfection. There is no sin. There's no doubt. There's no fear. He knows what he's here to do. And he lives, he ministers, he dies on the cross with one purpose, to bring us back to God. He dies so that that separation that makes us feel alone, it's gone. That fear that makes us feel like we're not enough, you don't need that because I'm here. And he does that so that he can pour himself on us. Elijah had God with him. We have God in us. Can you imagine what Elijah could do in this moment? Knowing that you have that power, the same power of the God that brought down fire, the same power of the God that spoke the universe with a whisper, that's in our hearts. Today is a remembrance day of Pentecost. And Steve, our bass player, who's here during the week on staff, has been amped up all week because we get to remember the day that God poured his spirit on us. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came so that we could have God in us. We have no reason for fear. It doesn't matter what battle we're facing, it's irrelevant. Because we have the ultimate backup. It doesn't matter what addiction you're facing. It doesn't matter what relationship you're struggling with, whether that's yourself or those around you. It doesn't matter what you're facing because you have God in your corner. We always win. There's no way to lose. It doesn't matter what the battle is. So now we have our fight. But why are we fighting? We always win, but what's the purpose for fighting? And we see this in Elijah's prayer. He says, God, I pray that they know that you are turning their hearts back to you. That's why we fight. We fight because God is fighting for us. Jesus coming and fighting, living in flesh, was to get rid of that separation so there's no distance between us and God. When sin entered, there was a separation. Jesus came to get rid of that. Jesus came to get rid of that fear. He came to get rid of those battles, that feeling of being alone. Jesus got rid of all of it. We don't need those things anymore. We have the ultimate backup. That's why we fight, because he's been fighting for us this whole time. Know that we have the one true God, not only with us, but in us. We cannot let fear defeat us in these battles. We can't let fear get in our way. We need to fight our battles with an expectant faith. Because trust me, God shows up. You guys pray with me. God, thank you so much for the witness of what you did with Elijah on that mountaintop. Because the more I think about it, the more I see that there was no competition. It was you versus Baal, a false god. You answered immediately while Baal was silent the entire time. There was no competition. The reason you did that was a witness so that we know that we can trust in you. God, I thank you for that. Please encourage us, strengthen us, give us strength in the moments of weakness when we feel like our battle is too big for us, when we feel like we're surrounded and there's nothing we can do to overcome it. Know that it's not us that has to overcome it. Because Elijah wasn't confident in himself. He wasn't trusting himself. He was trusting what God was going to do. God, give us peace in those moments of difficulty when we see that battle coming, that we know it's about you, not us. You have this. God, thank you for your love that you seek to turn us back to you. And give us strength to live with expectant faith. Amen.
We're going to be doing something called communion or the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. It depends what you call it, but it's the same thing. We're coming around the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. This is how we fight our battles. This is the expectant faith in the place we meet. I want to invite the ushers to come forward. In a few moments, we're going to be offered a piece of bread and grape juice. And as that comes by you, we want you to, how we do that here is grab a piece of bread and grape juice and hold that until we do this together. If you're new with us, we don't want you to feel you need to respond in this way. We want this to be open. But if you have a relationship with Jesus or you're desiring to seek that, we invite you to respond in this way. Whatever's most appropriate for you at this time to say yes to God, we invite you to do that. Passed a police officer going 83 in a 75. And he pulled me over. We talked. And he let me off. But as he took off and I began to drive the speed limit back home with the music still up, I was reminded of how quickly I get distracted from God. But in that moment, I was preoccupied with God. Be preoccupied with God right now.
Amazing love, how can it be? The kindness and mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so
of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's drink it together. The blood of Christ.
Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour. The dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power. God, you're so
where you can put finances in or other communication as it goes by. It's a response to the grace of God that loves us and meets us. And we want to encourage you, as that offering basket goes by, whether you're able to put anything tangibly in there or not, may that be a place to say yes to God, and perhaps even expectant faith that God's calling you into to say yes as that goes by, offering it to God in a place of worship. I invite you to pass these down in an act of worship.
And should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever.
You're so good.
Our God is the only King forever. Taste and see that He is good. Remember that to fight your battles by being surrounded with Him, and know that your superpower is expectant faith. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks for joining us.